Well, I want to pick up where we left off on number one, my journey to find God. I'd like to now move from that to my journey with God. I got saved, as you know, through the Navigators, and at that time I was out of a job, and I immediately got a job with a medical doctor in his office, and that gave me a weekday off where I would go out to the Navigator office and volunteer that day to be around Christians, as I had no Christian background and I needed the fellowship of Christians. And I thank God for the young man that led me to Christ, that was a Navigator, that discipled me. He just didn't say, "You're saved, you know, I hope you make it." I had a lot of issues I had to deal with, and he discipled me once a week, and it was, I thank God for him. I don't know where I'd be today if I had been saved and then turned loose with no Christian background, no nothing. I don't know what would happen, but I know that Stan, thank God, had a burden, because that's one of the burdens of the Navigators. It's not just to lead people to Christ, but to try to establish them in Christ and teach them about prayer and forgiveness and all these wonderful things that he discipled me in. I'd like to interject something right here. A couple of years ago, I received a phone call after I resigned being president of a Bible school. If I would go to a different Bible school and do the graduations message. And I felt God wanted me to do that, so I was willing to go to that state and to that city to give a message. Well, I prayed and asked God. I had given a lot of graduation messages at the school where I was president. But what can I do? What did God want me to say? And I was reading scripture, and I was praying, and I said, "God, I want something very fresh, very real to share with these students." And an interesting word seemed to pop out in scripture and came to my mind about the same time. And that was the word cup, C-U-P, cup. I had no idea why cup came to mind. So I thought, maybe I better check it out in the Greek. And I did, and I was very surprised. I thought, well, then maybe I need to check it out in the Hebrew. Again, I was really surprised. Now, the actual meaning of a cup is obvious. It's something that holds something. But a cup has specific significance in Scripture. And there are three D's that describe the significance of a cup. That is a divine, determined destiny. Now, I didn't know that when I got saved, that God had a divine, determined destiny for me that I could choose to follow. I had no idea of that. But I'll tell you that as you look back over your life, as you walk with God, you see God's hand in the turnings and direction and guidance in your life out of the blue, from other people, from just all kinds of things that you had no idea that would come into your life that was significant about you or me fulfilling our divine purpose. Well, I worked for this medical doctor, and thank God, as I said, I was being discipled, and I was drafted in the Army to go to Korea and fight the North Koreans. I went through all that training, and by a freak of accident, quote unquote, God doesn't have accidents, but it was an accident, instead of sending me to Korea, they sent me to Upper Michigan. Now, I didn't realize why God was doing that, but I just trust him. Somehow God wanted me there. And I was working as an x-ray lab technician in a small infirmary connected with the army that was guarding the Sioux Locks. And while I was there, I got involved in church and in activities for young people out of high school and college age kind of a thing. And there I met a very godly woman. And she outshone all the rest with her walk, love, and devotion for the Lord. And that was Marguerite, who became my wife. But what's interesting, the night we announced our engagement, we were in church, and we saw a movie put out by Moody on one of their students, a missionary and all of that. At the end of the movie, they gave an invitation to dedicate your life to Christ. And Marguerite and I walked forward to dedicate our life to God's will, for whatever that meant, as a couple. So it was a beginning of another important part of the journey. We had a, while I was there for 2 years, we had a little girl born up there, our oldest daughter, Cheryl. And I'm getting out of the army, and I thought, what am I going to do? I'm not sure. And I realized that, wait a minute, I dedicated our lives to serve God. I probably need some training. You know, God has a real sense of humor, especially if you watch the first section of this. And that is, he led me to go to the school where I was told by the ungodly people I worked with as an ungodly person, don't take those papers or talk to those radical students that are in the street. And God led me to go to that school. And I have to laugh about that. Here's a school I was avoiding as an unbeliever, and now God sent me to Biola to go there to be trained for ministry. We also had another daughter born while I was a student. I was not a good student, as you know from my previous testimony. I had a very difficult time getting through college. It took me 5.5 years to do a 4-year college. I got discouraged. I thought I'd drop out, that I'm not just an intellectual. I'm just an average person, and maybe not totally average. But I hung in there, and I graduated. And then, now what do I do? Well, we had another child, so I have 3 daughters now, and not sure where I'm going to go. And a church in Northern California, way high in the mountains there, in a big valley, 4,400 feet above sea level, a church that was in the midst of cowboys and loggers. Now, I grew up totally in Los Angeles. I knew nothing about rural America and nothing about logging and cowboys. And yet, the church called us to pastor there. We spent 5.5 years at the Aiden Bible Church. And as my wife and I look back, it was one of the most wonderful places for God to start us out. We learned how to trust him for finances. We learned how to pray food on the table. God taught us so much, and those wonderful, wonderful people that were there. It's just amazing what God did in those 5.5 years. At the end of 5.5 years, we got a call to the Sylvan Park Bible Church in Tacoma, Washington. That was another real divine encounter. I had no idea what that meant or how that would change my life drastically, but I went and we pastored there for another 5.5 years. And at that church in Seattle, they were having conferences put on by a new speaker, not well known at all. The conferences were held in churches, and it was a conference in basic youth conflicts. And we went to that. And it was there I learned about forgiveness. Now, I have been a pastor for at least 8 years, and I had real resentment towards my dad for being an alcoholic and putting me down and all the negative things that happened to a young person growing up in a home of an alcoholic. And I learned so much there, and God really began to work on the inside of me. Bible school worked on my information level and learning things I didn't even know that were even in the Bible. But now it was a focus on my walk with God, my personal life. And I began to work on that and to get my life under God's control. All those areas, being obedient to the teachings of Scripture about what it means to live the Christian life. And I'm so grateful to Bill Gothard for his input in my life that changed so much for me from there on. Well, after 5.5 years at that church, we were asked to grow and pastor the Granite Falls Bible Church. This was going to open another door for us that we had no idea of. And that is, as I was pastoring that church, a really mission-minded church, many of the people in that church had been trained at Prairie Bible Institute in Canada and were very, very mission-minded in all of that. It was a tremendous blessing that a church, you don't have to sell on missions, but a church is committed to it. Well, while pastoring there, I got to know pastors in the area and a pastor in Seattle at a Bible church there. And he said, you know, it's a shame that in Seattle there are no churches that are, no Bible schools that are non-denominational. The closest one is Mount Noma down in Portland, Oregon. Do you think we could start a Bible church, a Bible college up here, or a Bible school anyway to begin with, in Seattle for people that want to go to just a Bible school that doesn't have affiliation with the denomination? And so we were crazy enough to do it, and we started this Bible school. And, of course, then I had to learn, what am I going to teach, and all this stuff. And as I was teaching that school and learning and just loving these kids that were there, they were so special. And in fact, one of the fellows in that class is now a pastor, been a pastor for years, and he and his wife still support us here in this ministry. You make such wonderful friendships when you're walking in the will of God. Well, while I was at that school, I was asked to go speak at another college in Kansas City, a Bible college in Kansas City. I went down there, and we had a sort of a revival of sorts at that school. And they asked me if I would come back and start a course in biblical counseling, because there wasn't much material on that in those days, and be the chaplain and have a lot of other involvement in the school. And we prayed about it. We felt led of God to do it. A lot of super financial things happened that made it possible. And we went down on staff at that Bible school. It was such a blessing at that school. It was the school grew, and I think it came up to 500 students. And it was some of the best years of my life in Bible college, and got to know the students so well. Many of them are on mission fields. Many of them are pastoring all over, and just have a little part of their life. This was such a blessing. But as I was at that school, when we were in Aden, the first church, we had our last child, Richard. And by the time we got to Calvary, Richard was growing up, and I would leave for the college. We lived out where we could get a place that was cheap, quite a ways out of Kansas City, and had to get up early in the morning to go to the school, worked long hours, and came back later at night. And so if I saw my son at all, because he was the youngest one, I only saw him somewhat on the weekends. And then, of course, we were at churches, and I was filling in for pastors that were sick and things like that. Well, as Richard got older and older, I began to realize that I need to have some more involvement with him. He's going to be going into junior high school, and he's going to need a dad around. So I resigned the school and prayed that God would open the door where we could minister as a family and where I'd be around my son more. And God opened the door for us to pastor in Broken Bow, Nebraska, all places. Never dreamed I'd end up in Nebraska, because that's getting close to where I started from, North Dakota. We went to Broken Bow, and that was a wonderful experience. We had probably the just an unbelievable church and board people. They loved our family. They provided all kinds of opportunities for my son to, you know, get on farms, drive tractors, you know, all kinds of really neat stuff. It was a God-appointed time for us. And while I was there, and God was blessing the ministry, I was asked if I would go to Child Advancement Fellowship headquarters to hold like a deeper life week or something like that. And I went down, and God blessed those meetings. And so after, I think it was 2.5 or 3 years in Broken Bow, I got a call from the board of the International Board of CEF, from three of the board members, asking if I would be willing to be part of that mission as one of the vice presidents supporting Ellen George, who was going to be president. And we prayed about it, and we felt led of God that God wanted us to be a part of this international ministry working all over the world, and in every state in the United States. And so we moved to out of St. Louis to Warrenton, Missouri, and ministered there for 7 years, or 7.5 years, I believe. It was a wonderful time. We met missionaries from all over the world. Our children are getting older. My two oldest girls have gone to Bible college and had graduated. Our third daughter was no longer in Bible school either. And then our son was going into high school, and really had an opportunity to be involved at CEF. He did the summer ministries for them, leading kids to Christ and all of that. And it was a wonderful experience for our family to be able to touch places all over the world. And at that time, God began to open doors for me to work with other missions. I ended up on the board of a number of missions that I would be involved. I go to countries, visit, teach. And so I began to branch out from the United States to other countries. And that was a tremendous blessing. I met so many wonderful Christian believers in various parts of the world. Don't want to go into all that, but I'll tell you, it was a blessing. And also, it opened the door for me to work with, we figure, about 38 or 40 different mission organizations. So God was giving my focus broader and broader as far as the world goes. Then we had a day of prayer, or week of prayer, or something like that, And I heard of a man that was a very godly man, a man of prayer, and it was Mark Bubeck. And I asked Mark to come down and be a speaker for us. I was always in charge of CEF at that special day. And we had wonderful people that came and spoke and challenged us in the area of prayer. And Mark came down and shared, and he was such a blessing. And I got very much enamored with this man for his walk, his sincerity, his dedication to the Lord. I was impressed, but he was not of a man to impress you. I just felt, here is a man that has a kind of walk with God that I would like to have myself. A lot of things happened there. It's on other tapes about how I came in contact with people with demonic spirits and didn't know what to do. Went to Moody, studied under Fred Dickinson. How do I deal with people that are under the influence of demonic spirits and so on. So that area opened up, the whole thing of spiritual warfare. And Mark Bubeck left and was going to start a center in Sioux City, Iowa. And that center was to focus on helping Christians who are defeated, and if there was enemy involvement, how to help them to break free of that influence and walk in the victory of the cross of Christ. And so they asked us to come. We came up here. This is even closer to North Dakota. And cold country, we know what we were getting into. No mountains, no ocean, which I loved. But we gave that all up and we left Washington and California. So God really seemed to be leading us here. Now, there was no ministry here yet, really. So I said, God, you really want me to leave a worldwide ministry to go to the beginning of a ministry of counseling? And I did a lot of counseling of missionaries and all of that. So the counseling part, I felt very prepared for that. But, you know, just being isolated in Sioux City, Iowa, and leaving this international ministry was a very hard decision. So I really wanted God to give certain signs and so on that this was His will. Ramus and Scripture, godly counsel, all of that, because this was going to be a very drastic change. Well, obviously, because I'm in Sioux City right now talking to you, God called us here 20-some years ago. I forget how many, 23 years ago or so. And when we came here, it was another one of God's divine determined destiny for us. Because all of a sudden, all kinds of things begin to open up. I began to speak on different Indian reservations and helping them in the spiritistic aspect of their culture, not the Indian culture, there's nothing wrong with that, but the spirit part of it, and people that were in bondage to it and wanted to be free. I went to a number of reservations here and to reserves in Canada, and also with people working with the Indians up in Alaska. Also, I got a phone call that was really unique, and it was Moody Bible Institute called me and said, would you write a book on spiritual warfare for us? And I said, guys, I'm not a book writer, and I can't even spell. You know, it just, I'm sure there's other people. So I turned them down the first time. They prayed about it more. They called me again, and they said, we prayed about it. And I said, okay, I'll pray about it, but I really don't think I want to do it. It's going to be too much work, too hard, and so on. And so I didn't call them back. And they called the third time and said, maybe this is God. And so that's where the book, Reclaiming Surrendered Ground, was written by the request of Moody. I did not know that that was sort of unique, that most publishers want you to have a book to show them, then they can decide whether or not they want to print it. But I didn't know that. So the book came into being. Then later on, I had another divine destiny that I never dreamed about, and that is I got a telephone call from Dallas asking if I'd speak at a prayer gathering, a huge prayer gathering. Would I go and be the speaker? Well, I said no. And they said, well, our board was praying. And I said, well, try this guy, or this guy. And so we've had these people and all of it. We'll just take it at that. Well, then later on, they called again and said, you know, the Lord has really put you on our heart that you should be the speaker. And I thought, I prayed, but I'm not a man of prayer. I've been around men of prayer. I've been around Dick Eastman, really godly man of prayer. Mark Bubeck, you know, Alan George, he was president of CEF. I know what men of prayer are like. And I'm not like that. I'm kind of the guy, I'll do, you pray for me. But it wasn't going to fly this time. They called the third time. I said, this has to be God. I said, okay. Now, if you want me to speak at this prayer retreat, how much time do I have to prepare? And they gave me, it would be a year and a half. And I thought, well, good. And so anyway, that began to put me on a journey, a prayer journey. And it was wonderful. I began to go back over all the oldie but goodie books on prayer and really saying, God, give me a heart for prayer. You know, I do pray, but I know that my prayer life is not very strong. And, you know, I do the Skylobs. Ooh, you know, God, do something here. Ooh, God, do something here. But to really have long periods of crying out to God and sitting still, which is very hard for me because I'm so active, you know, all of that was a whole new journey for me. Well, as I begin to go and I begin to collect books, right now I have over 1,400 books on prayer and the deeper life in my library, and many of them, my personal library, many of them have challenged me with my walk with God. You can never, ever be satisfied with where you are in your walk with God. There's always more. And God wants you to draw near to Him. And as we draw near to Him, you see, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Beautiful. You know, be still and know that I am God. Now, we have videos on our website on prayer, things that I learned in prayer, and you can look at those if you're interested. So, this prayer thing opened up for, I began to put together things that I learned in prayer, and we began to have prayer retreat for men in the North Woods of Michigan. And we had a 600 and some page notebook on prayer that they got, which is really too much. It was way too much information. But anyway, I was so thrilled about all the aspects of prayer I was learning about that I had no idea of, that it just, I wanted to share that with people. There were conferences, prayer conferences we had, prayer couple conferences. It was just amazing, all the doors that God kept opening for me to minister. I spoke at homeschool conferences across America. I did pastors' conferences twice in 10 major cities with 1,000 or better pastors at each of these conferences. It was just amazing. I mean, 2,000. We had over 20,000 pastors at those conferences in those 10 major cities. It was just so many doors open. God opened doors for me to go to Washington, D.C. I ministered to congressmen and Christian leaders and in the political realm, medical seminars. I mean, it just, I couldn't believe all that God had me do, because I'm the guy that barely got out of college. You know, I wondered sometimes if they graduated me because they felt sorry for me. and the purpose of me sharing my journey with you, if God had told me when I had a fear of rejection, when I knew I couldn't spell, I knew I had a hard time reading because of dyslexia and all these things, what God's destiny was for me, I would rebel. I'd have said, no way, I'm not going to do that. Then ended up a president of another Bible training school. So it's been amazing, the journey. And it all started with a fellow sharing with me the bridge. You know, with God on one side and man on the other. And how God spoke to me through that bridge booklet. I don't have one here with me, but we did offer it if you didn't watch section one. But it was a tool that God used in a marvelous way to bring me to himself. And then the navigator discipling me, getting my feet on just basic assurances of salvation, of answer to prayer, of forgiveness of sin, and all these things. I have never doubted my salvation after my early discipleship. I know a lot of people that have. Have I always done everything that God wanted? If I told you yes, you ought to turn this thing off. No, I have failed him. But I've gotten back up again, brushed the dirt off my knees, and reached out my hand, and he grabbed it, and we began to walk. It's been a wonderful journey. I would not trade this journey for anything. Our oldest daughter and her husband have served the Lord full-time their whole married life. My second daughter was a missionary, and the field that she was working with was drying up, and so she's has spent the rest of her life in full-time ministry. She's single. She's very sharp, very intelligent. Went back to college and got a degree in law, you know, when she was, I believe, in her 30s, which was not easy when you have kids that are staying in school and you have to compete against them. And so she is in full-time ministry today. Our third daughter married a wonderful man that she met in Bible school, and they have served God. I always tell people he's the only one in the family that does not sponge off of God. He has a real job. And our oldest daughter has two girls that know the Lord. One's married to a youth pastor. They've been involved, the girls, in serving him. Our second daughter, of course, has no children. Our third daughter has four. And all four of those children have professed faith in Christ. And then my son is in full-time ministry, has been in full-time ministry, now has his own ministry. And if you are interested in what his ministry is, we do have it on the web with a movie, The Uganda Man, his ministry in Uganda, and then also in North Richmond. Our daughter Terry, if you live in the Miami area, you'll find Terry there involved with a large Christian school, and you know she's a adjunct professor in some of the secular universities. She's extremely busy serving God, and Terry is an excellent speaker. I only heard her speak at high school graduation, but pastor's friend of mine, when she was deputating for her mission work as a missionary, they said, have you heard your daughter give her deputation speech and so on? And I said, no. They said, your daughter is excellent, and her partner is a wonderful singer, and the two together give one of the best programs, that mission kind of thing, that we've ever had in our church. And these are pastors I know. So, you know, I just thank God. And my son has two children. One is very young, and he hasn't accepted the Lord yet, but his older daughter, who's 13, has accepted the Lord and is walking with Him. So, you know, as we look back over our life, my wife and I, we're so thankful that we were open to allowing God to direct our lives, even into hard situations that we did not feel prepared for. And yet, God taught us things, we learned things. And so, beloved, if you're just starting a journey with God, just take it a day at a time, a step at a time. Often God gives you light for the very next step. Some people see their whole life, but the majority of people I know are walking with God on a daily basis and are open to God for direction and guidance and allowing Him to guide us into His plan He had for our life. It overwhelms me when I read Scripture that God had a plan for my life even before I knew Him. And that's just mind-boggling. And I'm thankful that we have walked with Him. And I'm encouraging you to do the same. Put God first. I never looked at what's the salary that I'm going to get. And the ministry we have here, many of you probably know, that we don't charge. We don't want, personally, to make money off of hurting Christians. We want to come alongside and restore those that are wounded, restore those who have fallen, and are trusting God to meet our needs. If you get our prayer letters or things from our office, they will never ask you to give money. And if God leads you, that's fine. That's God's business. This is God's ministry. And I believe what Hudson Taylor said, God's work, done God's ways, will not lack God's support. You know, we have been down. Yes, we've been down. We wondered, you know, are we going to have to shut the doors? But God always came through. Are we going to trust Him? And so it's been a wonderful journey of trusting Him to meet our needs when our children are with us. Now, as my wife is 82 and I'm 80 years of age, trusting God now for whatever's left for us. We just want to be serving Him, and we just want to be true to Him. Father, thank You for those that are watching. I pray, Father, that wherever they are in the journey, Lord, that they would be open to Your guidance as You guide them through Your Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through circumstances, Father. We just thank You how much that You love and care for us and You accept us. Lord, I think of the two truths that Your Word gave to me, and I want to thank You for them, that You love me with an eternal love, and I'm accepted in the Beloved. Father, bless whoever's watching and minister to their heart. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, that You would be glorified in their lives. Amen.